Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Welcome and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. We have an extremely exciting show for you today, and we're going to jump right in. But first, I must introduce our producer and my friend, Kevin Finn. Kevin is a master at the control board, but he's also a very accomplished host and does a lot of great shows here at Business Radio X. We had a great time last night at a Business Radio X social at the Concourse, didn't we, Kevin?
It was awesome. Good drinks, good food, good company.
No question about it. And please jump in at any point if you have a question for John.
I will indeed.
From there.
I'm excited about this interview.
I cannot probably express how excited I am about today's show. As all of you know that have been listening, our goal for Booth 61 is to build community and allow the rising tide to lift all the boats. With me today is a man who, for anyone in the technology industry in Georgia for the last 30 years, needs no introduction whatsoever. John C. Yates is the managing partner of the technology practice at Morris, Manning & Martin. In introducing John, I feel much like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I don't know where to begin. There's enough meat to go for hours and hours and hours. John's accomplishments truly are the foundation of our technology industry in Georgia today. I will say John is a Duke graduate. He is a wonderful and a giving wife who I've had the privilege of spending some time with, Ellen, and his son Paul is working at a technology company here in Atlanta and is a graduate of Furman, where I think John also sits on the board of trustees at Furman. John has been a friend of mine, a mentor, a confidant, a breakfast mate. He's a brother in our faith walk together, and he's been an inspiration for me for almost 20 years. In addition, in his casual and kind manner that he has, John referred me to the biggest single sale of my entire career when I was with PricewaterhouseCoopers in the early 90s. Now, many people would have tried to collect on the debt that I owed many, many times probably over the years, but not John Yates. Please Google John Yates the next time you have a day or two in a spare time and you want to read some very interesting and impressive information, and you will do that. Mr. John Yates, welcome to Booth 61.
Ricky, thank you. It's an honor to be here with you, and thanks for that very kind introduction. You have actually set the gold standard for me, particularly the gold standard for friendship in this community, and I value it, and I know so many other people do as well.
Thank you very, very much. Well, where in the world do we begin, and when can you come back for the next show? Because I'd like to do a mini-series here. How and why did you begin in Atlanta, John? Because I know after you graduated from Duke, your sister was in the technology community in California, and there was a rumbling that you might go out and join her. How did Atlanta win the contest?
Well, I think it was very fortuitous, Ricky, but it actually turned out that my sister and I both went to Duke University, and my sister Jean graduated 3 years before I did, and she decided to seek her fortune in Silicon Valley. So much to the chagrin of her parents, she traveled to California and got involved with something called the Unix operating system and actually started her own technology company. And when I got out of law school at Duke University in 1981, Ellen and I decided we'd come to Atlanta thinking that this would be a great place to settle initially before we might move back to Charlotte or to Washington, D.C. or someplace else. And my sister gave me a call after about 2 weeks of my law practice and said she was thinking about maybe starting her own company, which I found was interesting. And I said, well, Gene, you know, I'm a lawyer now, and you probably need to follow these 500 steps before you start your own company, and this is probably going to take you about a year and a half. So, you know, give me a call back in a year and a half after you follow these steps, and we'll help you start your company. Well, needless to say, about 2 days later, she called me up and said, guess what, John? I've started my new company. I'm out on my own now. So I didn't follow any of those 500 steps, but I'm an entrepreneur. And so she started the business, got me out there right away, and I began visiting people in Silicon Valley. So I had the good fortune early on to see what the Valley was about. But thanks to my wife, Ellen, and the good friends I had in the Atlanta community, I decided building in Atlanta, that ecosystem similar to Silicon Valley, was going to be much more inspirational and, frankly, much more exciting than just plugging myself in as another pawn in the Valley. Silicon Valley is great, no doubt about it. But I was going to be a cog in the machine. Whereas here, I'd have the opportunity, particularly in the early 80s, to work with good people like you and others who were really building this technology community from the ground up. And so that's how it started, and we're very fortunate today to have built a very strong ecosystem here in the community and at Morris Mania Martin.
Well, John, go a little bit further into that, because I do know 1981, 82, 83, there really wasn't a technology community. MSA was, you know, off the ground, and maybe a few other companies, but you really did make a decision to become fundamentally a foundation, if you will. Maybe that wasn't your goal, but that what has certainly occurred because of your giving nature. I think of the early days of SSA and Beta and WIT and Southeastern Software and how you really laid the foundation for that. Just kind of go into that a little bit more in depth. I mean, it's to me, it's such an incredible story. For those that are the newcomers, we had the great David Cummings on last week, and he was watching Sesame Street when you were building the foundation for his great success.
Well, you're very kind, Ricky. It has been a team effort all along, but maybe to just run the clock back a little bit to the early 80s, when I did make the decision along with Ellen to stay in Atlanta and really build the practice here. It was an interesting opportunity because we looked around and tried to find technology companies, and there really weren't that many companies here. Georgia Tech obviously was a mainstay of the tech community. But what we began to do was to say, let's form an organization. And my sister Jean on the West Coast said, you got to start forming an organization, and you got to start writing. So at that time, I started writing for a publication called Computer Retailing that of all the cities in the country was headquartered in Atlanta. Hmm. And at that time, computer retailing, believe it or not, was the center of the technology world. There were very few places to buy a microcomputer, and Computer Retailing was a magazine that largely was chock full of independent microcomputer dealers throughout the country who would advertise in this publication. So I remember Gene and I wrote an initial article about the Trash 80, TRS-80, which was a Radio Shack early stage PC, and that was the beginning of my writing career. So I began writing, began doing some speaking as a result, because there were very few people in the computer law market. And I'll never forget my first trip to Comdex, which at the time was one of the world's largest trade shows. It had just started, though. It was a computer technology show, and it was in Atlantic City. And I followed my sister Jean around during that show, visiting one booth after another, seeing one microcomputer company after another. And at that time, there were literally hundreds of computer companies, much like the early days of the automotive business where everybody had an automobile or automobile manufacturing plant. And we visited those companies, and I said, this is for real. I do recall, though, there were a couple companies there that were from Atlanta. One was a company called Quadram that Leland Strange, who still is an active player in our community today, had. And I think the table was about the size of a coffee table, and they put a nice tablecloth on it, and he sold the six-pack quad board, which is a memory expansion board, and they were selling like hotcakes. And I concluded that the place to be was Atlanta, and the way to do it was to work with companies that were growing to help build that ecosystem.
Well, Comdex ended up moving to Atlanta and headquartering here for many, many years. I was not in technology. I was purely in the hospitality industry, but it was one of the largest shows in Atlanta for many years, and each organization tried to outdo each other in grandiose. And I remember a company a long time ago, Ashton Tate, who would hire the biggest name entertainers to do something at the Fox for their customers, and MSA and Mr. MLA were doing a lot of exciting things during that time. I had forgotten about Comdex. That's a great memory.
Well, it's interesting, too. You mentioned Ashton Tate. For those listeners who recall the early days of the 80s in the software area, and obviously Atlanta was really and has remained a software capital, I had a good friend that was a general counsel at Ashton Tate. They were located in Los Angeles, not in the Valley. I remember visiting with him one time, and I walked in and to the office at Ashton Tate, and they were a database manufacturing software company. And was talking to my friend, and I said, well, you know, can I meet Mr. Ashton and Mr. Tate? And they said, well, you can meet Mr. Tate because he's down the hall, but Mr. Ashton, well, Ashton's the name of the parrot out front. So it was a way for them actually to screen people who were trying to get into the company. But it's a very, very interesting history of the technology community. But it also highlights, I think, the fact that the basis for Atlanta's growth, and frankly, I think our future, is really software. When you look, you mentioned MSA earlier, but the software community has been the foundation. Now, software has morphed over time, And obviously, we have new areas and avenues today. But if we look and see what the strength of Atlanta is and the really the greater Metro Atlanta area, it's been software, starting in the early days and running through today.